today is found in the Gospel of Matthew and likewise of Luke concerning Peter's denial of his Lord and likewise of Judas's repentance. We left off speaking to you how that Peter was following Christ afar off. And now when he came to the palace of the high priest, he sat down with the enemies, and he was sitting there on outside of the porch. And there came a maid unto him and said unto him, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied and said, I know not what thou sayest. We have here then Peter, the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who had been so firm and so outspoken that he never would deny him and that he was ready to die with him. Here he is before a maid, and he denies him. Peter, he was sitting with these enemies. He mingled with bad company. If he had been in his right mind, he would have done what the other apostles did. They all fled and they ran to their homes. He should have done this too. But the providence of God was behind this act of Peter, and he went with them and followed them to this place. And here he is sitting with these people. Now this teaches us likewise that we are not to follow a multitude to do evil. The Lord Jesus Christ had taught Peter to pray that he should not enter into temptation. I wonder whether he was praying inwardly to be kept while he was amongst these people. I fear not. It's a mercy to be kept praying, for we are so apt to fall into temptation. There is only one that can keep us from temptation. And there was only one that was tempted in all points like we are, but without sin. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times wasn't he tempted and while he was here? He came down into this world, a group of sinners, a bad company of people to be with, but he came for them. He was tempted by the devil, but he withstood his temptation. So he has taught us likewise to pray that we should not enter into temptation. It's a mercy when we see temptation and we begin to pray against it. Sometimes we fall headlong into it before we even have a prayer in our minds or in our hearts concerning it. So strong is temptation. And so Peter, mingling with these people, he likewise was put on the spot by this maid. He lied, he denied, in these words, I know not what thou sayest. All my hearers, Peter was guilty of lying. How many times have you lied in this way in your life? Oh, we are so prone to lie, just like Peter. We know what the person says is true inside, but outside we would, like Peter, say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you mean. We know what they mean, all right. So Peter, he knew what this maid meant. Oh, how many of us are guilty in this respect to lie when we know that it's entirely different. This lie of Peter was a lie that he knew not Christ. This man Peter, how could he do this? After being so insistent before Christ himself that he never would do this. Oh, my hearers, we need not boast like Peter did of what we would do. We know not what we might do when we are placed in circumstances like he was. Oh, we are sure apt to fall just as well as Peter did. And now Peter, after he had denied his Lord in this way, he went out on the porch. And lo and behold, there comes another maid. And she speaks unto him and says unto him, surely thou wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied him again. He said, I know not the man, and that with an oath. Oh, this man, Peter, in this respect, what would have been wrong if he had said, I was with him? There was no sin in being with Jesus. Why did he not come out before this maid in this way? See, my hearers, what the fear of man and the fear of death leads to. This was uppermost in Peter, that if he confessed Jesus and came out for him, why, it would cost him his life. And now before a maid, he says, I know not the man. And that with an oath, with a curse yet too about it. He wanted to back up his statement before these people with a curse. Oh, my hearers, how could Peter say, I know not the man? Oh. When we read in the history of Peter, he not know this man? Oh. What had not this man done to him already? Oh, he had left everything to follow Jesus. He was about the third apostle that was called by Jesus, and he left everything. Oh, he had experienced so much with this man. Oh, he had been gifted likewise in many respects above the other apostles. He was very forward. He was very bold in professing Jesus Christ. He held not back. But he likewise was gifted with many experiences which Christ gave unto him. Christ put him on the spot one time and said unto him, And what sayest thou, Peter, of me? And all Peter made such a wonderful confession of him. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did not know him, making a confession of him like this? Oh, he had been wonderfully spared likewise. When Jesus came walking to them during the night when they were on the sea with their little ship, then he saw Jesus coming. And one of the apostles says, it's the Lord. And you know the story. Peter jumped out of the boat and started to walk on the water to Jesus. Oh, he had such a desire for Jesus. He loved Jesus, so he wanted to be with Jesus. You too? Have you got such a desire for him? And when he began to sink, then he began to cry, Lord, save me. And the Lord Jesus took him by the hand and saved him, or he would have drowned in the water. Then Jesus had been so good to him at one time that he took him and two of the other apostles up on a mountain. And Jesus was transfigured before them. Oh, it was so good there. Peter had said, Let's build tabernacles here, he says. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And now Peter says he didn't know this man. Oh, how could he imagine that these people could believe something like this when they had seen him with him? But he says, I know not the man. And with a curse behind it. Oh, my hearers. This proved to them people that he was not a Christian. He was not a follower of Christ. What was he doing? He was transgressing the third commandment. And only the enemies of Christ take his name in vain. And he wanted to prove with this that he was not one of Jesus' friends, that he didn't know the man. Oh, how sad and how deeply did Peter fall in this respect before two maids. And now he went out completely away from this hall where Jesus was. And he went outside, and when he was outside, we find that those that stood round about him, they looked at him, and they said unto him, Surely thou wast with him. And we find that for the third time, he says that he did not know him. And he backed it up with swearing and with curses. Oh, Peter, Peter, how sad you are in this condition, falling in this way and speaking so against what was actually in his own heart, for he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. But now Peter, he was in this so surprised. He was so overtaken. He was carried away by the fear of man and the fear of death. And here he denies Christ for the third time, denying that he knew him, that he had anything to do with him. And then he began to curse and swear. He used such awful language. They had said to him, "For your speech bewrayeth thee." Peter was a Galilean. The Galileans, they had an altogether different way of speaking than the Jews. Their pronunciation was entirely different. And these Galileans, they were looked down upon by the rest of the Jewish people. Therefore, they likewise spake to Peter about Jesus being a Galilean. They scorned Jesus for this purpose, that he came from Galilee. And now when Peter was cursing and swearing, oh, how awful this must have been, my hearers. We don't know whether Peter cursed and swore before he was converted. This we'd have no account of. It could be that he was, that he did use some profanity. But when the grace of God entered into his soul, he was delivered from that. He was given a new tongue, and he spake an entirely different language. You too, have you received a new tongue? Were you accustomed to use profanity, to use the name of the Lord in vain? Has God come into your heart and changed you? Oh, what a mercy, my hearers. Peter was known by the dialect that he spake by. People know you because you speak different. What a mercy if you speak about Christ. You speak about his love, about what he has done to you. Do people realize when they see you and meet you and talk with you that you have been with Jesus? Your speech, your conversation, your life testifies of it. What a mercy, my hearers, if we have experienced this in this life. Here we find Peter using such terrible profanity. He probably never had used this in this way before. But we find that the devilish nature of Peter got the best of him. When he was accused three times of knowing Christ and being with him, then he locked himself for a moment or two and he began to give vent by his mouth that he knew not him, backing it up in this way. Oh, my hearers, when he was doing this, suddenly, as the Bible teaches us, the cock crowed. Oh, this Christ had told him would take place, that he would deny him three times before the cock crowed. And when he was in the midst of his profanity, then the cock crowed. And likewise in Luke we read that when the cock crowed, Jesus turned and looked upon him. Jesus was facing the council. He had his back to Peter. But all the while what Peter was doing was well known to Jesus. He was God. He knew what he was doing. And when this cock crowed, he turned and he looked at Peter. The cock crowing and the look of Christ, that was sufficient enough for Peter. Oh, then Peter, he remembered the words that Jesus had spoken unto him. Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Oh, the word of God came to him with power divine. It was an arrow shot out of the bow of Christ into his very heart that he was given to remember these words. Oh, what he had done. Oh, terrible, terrible it was for this Peter, but when this came home to him, and then when Christ looked at him, oh, what he conveyed with that look. That was a look as if he said, Peter, look now at me. Look in my face and say you don't know me. Oh, it was just as Jesus said unto him, Peter, you don't know me? After all what I have done for thee, you do not know me? It conveyed likewise a look of compassion, a look of pity, a look of mercy, a look of kindness. Oh, this look of Jesus just melted him to pieces. Oh, who can express what was going on in Peter's heart when this took place with him? And we read, and he went out, and he wept bitterly. Oh, Peter, he went out weeping, sobbing, crying, gifted by the Spirit of God with the spirit of grace and of supplications. All Peter had in him these thoughts, I believe. Oh, what have I done? He told me that I would do this, and I told him I never would do it. I told him I was ready to die for him, and oh, what did I do? Just as he told me, that's the way it went. Oh, I don't believe he'll ever look at me anymore. He'll ever have anything to do with me, and it would be just if he did. Oh, I've sinned so against him. Oh, I've denied that I knew him. Oh, he went out crying inwardly, weeping and sighing and groaning, complaining about his sin. It came home to him. Oh, my hearers, how terrible this was for this man, Peter. The aggravations of this sin were so great. Just think who he was. He was an apostle. He was a follower of Christ, one that was very near and very dear to him. And just think of what he did. Oh, he denied him. He had said that he was ready to die for him, and he made no attempt to do so. He never came out for him. He made just as if he never knew him and never had anything to do with him. Now this man, Peter, the sin that he committed was so great, but it was not too great to be forgiven. For we find that with that look of Christ and that spirit of grace and of supplications that he received, that he found a place of repentance. He found a place where he could give vent to his heart, where it was broken, where it was contrite, and where he was deeply humbled and abased. This was very necessary for Peter. This had to take place with Peter. Peter's nature was entirely different than the rest of the apostles. Peter, he was the foremost of them, and he stood so confident in himself. And when this took place, all the confidence in himself sunk to the ground, and he sought confidence in him where it only was to be found. And Peter, ever after, remembered this, what had taken place with him, and he profited by this experience. It made him a humbled and a model prayer apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. All this man Peter was gifted then with the spirit of repentance. I wonder how many of my hearers have been gifted with this spirit. Oh, have you never been sorry that you have sinned against God? Has it never come home to you what you have done in your past life? Have your sins never risen up before you as mountains so great, and that you could not believe that God would ever have anything to do with the likes of you? But in your bitter grief, in your sorrow, when God let those things pass before you, what he has done for you in your past life, how good he was, how kind he was, how merciful he was to you, when these things pass before us, then we receive a spirit of repentance. Oh, this godly sorrow, my hearers, had we some of it every day of our life, It leads to a repentance that never will be repented of. Blessed is he that is given this spirit of repentance and given to find a place of sorrow at the feet of Christ and to beg and entreat him for mercy, for pardon, for forgiveness. Peter was likewise sought after by Jesus Christ. He was the one that came to him and sought him out after he was raised from the dead. So Christ seeks out every one who has been given this spirit of repentance. And now we find that this multitude, the elders, the chief priests of the people, they gathered together a council to decide what they would do with Jesus. They had been busy with him all night. They had likewise bound him. They had mocked him. They had spit upon him. They had buffeted him. They had hit him with the palms of their hands. This is the way they treated Jesus. What for? What had he done? Nothing. Nothing whatsoever, my hearers. And now this rabble, they called the rest of the Sanhedrin together, for they weren't all together at this particular time, and now they gathered them all together to find how that they would do with Jesus, what they should do with him, where they had him now in their hands. And they decided by the council that they would put him to death. Now, these Jewish people, they had lost the authority of putting anyone to death. 2 years before this, the Romans had taken away this authority. So they had no authority to put Jesus to death. But they decided that this is what had to take place with him. They condemned him to death. So they bound him. They tied his hands behind him like they do to criminals, and they led him through the streets of Jerusalem from the house of Caiaphas to the judgment hall where Pilate, the Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, held council and held his judgment. They then bound Jesus with his hands behind him. They walked him through the streets of Jerusalem. It was about a mile from the house of Caiaphas to this judgment hall. It was very early in the morning. The people were all getting up and going out into the city, and they all saw this procession coming through the city. He was held as a spectacle before them. The Bible says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. Oh, this precious Jesus, he was bound not only by these people, but he was bound by the cords of our sins by his heavenly Father. And all where he was bound, for this purpose, we sinful creatures may be loosed from our bonds. What a mercy if we seek this at his feet. So they then took him and led him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Now this man, according to the Roman writers, was a very harsh and a very cruel man. And he was likewise one that dealt with the Jews very roughly. And they likewise hated him. They cared not about this man. But they used him as a tool to vent their malice upon Christ. This is what they used Pontius Pilate for. And we find that when Judas saw that Christ was condemned, that he was to die, then Judas likewise, he repented. And he took the 30 pieces of silver and he returned back to the chief priest and to the elders. And he spake unto them and said unto them, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said unto him, what's that to us? See thou to this. And Judas took the pieces of silver and he cast them down into the temple, and he went and he hung himself. We have here Judas's repentance. Judas, he had never expected this. Judas, He was a covetous man. All he liked was money. And this is what he was after. And for money, he had sold his master and his Lord. And Judas, he thought that Christ would sure deliver himself out of their hands. He had been with Christ, and he knew that Christ was mighty and able enough to perform a miracle to deliver himself. And he thought this is what Christ would do. And Christ would be delivered, the Jews would be ashamed, and he would have the money, and nobody would be hurt. But it didn't go that way. Oh, no. We can figure out things beforehand, but we don't know sometimes which way it's going to go. And this is what happened to Judas. And now Judas, when he saw that he was condemned, that he was going to be put to death, but then Judas repented. All this Judas, it came home to him, just as it came home to Peter. Oh, what had he done? Money, 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 that's all that I liked. And for money I sold him. For money I went to these rabble Jews and I told them that I would deliver him into their hands. Oh, I wish I had never went to them. Oh, what am I going to do with this money that I got in my pocket? The money burned a hole in his conscience. It troubled him so. And he decided that he would go back with the money to these Jews. And he took the money and he went back to them. And he came with a true and an honest confession before these Jewish leaders. He said unto them, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. All my hearers, I have sinned, he said. Have you ever said that in truth and in uprightness? Have you ever went on your knees and confessed that you have sinned against God and you felt in your very soul that you was a sinner? But Judas didn't have this. Now Judas's conscience witnessed against him and made him confess that he had sinned. He was honest. He didn't say, well, you were the fault of it. It's your blame. No, he took it all upon himself. Nobody urged him to go either. No. He went himself, and he said, I have sinned. A good confession, my hearers, a confession that every one of us should make, but a confession that's mostly only here and over here, and maybe because of our conscience, but never by the Spirit of God, if it is so. Then that will never happen to you what happened to Judas. That'll happen to you what happened to Peter. And now Judas, he returned to these Jews, and he gave an honorable testimony of Christ. They were the ones that had bargained with him and offered him 30 pieces of silver. They were just as guilty as he was in this respect. They hadn't invited him to come to them, but they thought that in this, they were right in doing what they did to Jesus. They thought they had an impostor because one of his own disciples came and offered to deliver him unto them. But now he came back. And now he started to witness for Christ. And he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. In this, it was to the honor of Jesus that he said this. If anyone would have known that Jesus had done anything wrong, and that the religion that he had been teaching and preaching was a religion that was not true, Judas would have known it. And now Judas saying, I have betrayed innocent blood, prove unto these rulers that Jesus was innocent, that he was not guilty. Even the man who they bargained with had to come back and say this. All my hearers, this man Judas, when he said this unto these people, they had no mercy on him. They had no pity, no compassion for him. What did they answer him? What's that to us? See thou to this. Oh, how terrible hard were these Jewish religious leaders to this man, Judas. Oh, to my estimation, when he came in this way to them, they should have said, Judas, if you're guilty, then we're guilty too. And if you have betrayed innocent blood, so have we. And now, Judas, God is a God ready and willing to forgive. Let's get down on our knees and let's pray to this God that he'll forgive us for these sins that we've been doing. And let us let Jesus go free. This is what these Jewish religious leaders should have done. This was their duty. But they didn't do this. Oh, no. They had no thoughts whatsoever of doing this. They were enemies of Christ and they wanted him out of the way. And they didn't care about Judas either. What's that to us that you sinned? You done it, it's your own fault. This is what they threw at him. And they said to him, you'll have to see about that. We can't do anything for you. See thou to it. This is the way they treated this man Judas. Oh, my heroes, this man Judas, he had not the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in his soul. He came to man with his trouble, and when they refused to receive the money, then he took the money and he cast it into the temple. That money burned a hole in his conscience. He couldn't keep it. It was too hot for him. And he didn't want it, and they didn't want it either, for the simple reason that if they took that money back, then they would be guilty of the blood of Christ. And he didn't want it either, so he threw it at him. In other words, there it is. It's yours. You gave it to me, you take it. So Judas, after he had cast the money into the temple, he departed. And he went and he hung himself. You see in this, Judas's repentance only went this far. I have sinned and betrayed innocent blood. You know, I've told you this, you read so many times in the Gospels, after he had been with Jesus at the supper, then the devil entered into Judas. And the devil put it into Judas's heart to go to the Jewish leaders with this, that he would betray him. And now the devil was still in Judas. The devil pushed him. To what? To go back to Christ? To go back to the disciples? To admit that he was guilty? No, the devil pushed him into despair. The commentary says he was just like Cain that you read of. My sin is too great to be forgiven. So this is the way it was by Judas. He found no place of repentance. He found no place of sorrow. How sad, my hearers. How far it can go with a person, even under conviction of his conscience. Oh, how should we not tremble? We might have had this, and we built upon it, and we think that we are born again by it. See Judas, where he went. He came into despair. Oh, that's an awful thing to get into. Despair. No more hope. No more expectation. Nothing else but eternal damnation awaiting him. And instead of casting himself upon the mercy of God, he cast himself upon the mercy of the devil. And the devil put it into his mind to take his own life. He went alone. He sat there. And then he decided he would end it all. And we find that he went and he hung himself. According to the chapter in the book of the Acts, Peter speaking about this, that he took a tree in the midst of the city in Jerusalem, one of the highest trees. He went up on the top of this tree and he fastened himself to a branch of it. And when he hung there on this branch, whether the branch gave way or whether that what he had tied himself with gave way, we know not. But he fell from a tremendous height. And as he fell, he hit the bottom and his bowels burst open. He was a spectacle to everybody that went by there. The justice of God came down upon this man, Judas. Everyone was asking, who is this man? What caused him to do this? It was spread throughout Jerusalem. It was known. See how God revealed, even unto the people in Jerusalem, the sin of Judas. Oh, my hearers, may we be kept from this devil, who would, if possible, lead every one of us to despair, who would, if he could grasp us, take us with him to that place where we will be howling and wailing and gnashing upon our teeth to all eternity. This is where Judas wound up, my hearers. The commentary says, Judas's sin of despairing of mercy was greater than his sin of betraying Christ. You know, he didn't sin the unpardonable sin. There were others that betrayed and crucified Christ, nailed him to the cross, and they found forgiveness. So the sin of Judas could have been forgiven, but it was not. It was not in the purpose of God to do this. It was to leave Judas to go in his sins. And he died in them. Oh, my hearers, who are we that we are yet living, that we are yet here in this place of worship, that we may yet seek God and beg him for forgiveness? Oh, that God would put it into hearts of every one of you who's listening to me, that you may find forgiveness for your many sins in this precious sacrifice, Jesus Christ. This concludes our lesson for today.